All right, this one's gonna go deep, friend. So just brace yourself, okay? Do you feel that you tailored some of your commentary on the podcast so as to not look like a Karen?
Well, I feel like I do look like a Karen.
With Karen with a better haircut, I should have said.
So we're doing something totally different today. We're not talking about pop culture. We're not talking about politics. We actually don't even know what we're talking about because the only thing that we decided was to come up with two or three questions that are hard to ask the other person. And the idea is to have hard, one of our things is having hard conversations, but also encouraging people to get to know people in their lives better and make space for the complexities of lives and feelings.
Yeah. Now, if you don't like your in-laws, maybe you don't want to play this game with them. But for people that you do trust and you feel like it's a safe space, then we encourage it because we think that it can get us to just dig a little deeper in our relationships.
Yeah. And so I think well, I have no idea what Tashara is going to ask. I think we should have some ground rules. Like we should be able
We're
to
going
say
there.
like I don't feel comfortable.
No. That defeats the whole purpose,
Okay. Totally fine. I'm into it. Okay.
Thank you.
You want to ask the first one?
I am.
Okay.
Okay. Here we go. Now, this question is not just about what's hard for me to ask. This is very hard for me to ask, but it's also about what might be hard for you to answer. So I'm making myself vulnerable here as well, friend. Okay. Did you ever get a butt plug?
No. Jesus. My God. I was like bracing myself for like something like I don't even know. I can't.
Okay, my offer is still available for
Okay,
us.
thank you. Not
Okay.
interested.
Listen, no, my offer is still available for us to explore that part of our pleasure together, not actually doing it together simultaneously. But what I'm saying is exploring
Okay.
the accoutrement that we might need. And we'll come back to that in another episode. But
Okay,
you know.
actually, no thanks, but I was just at the bookstore with Josh actually. We had a morning date and it was so fun. And we went to the bookstore and there was like this whole section of books about pleasure. And there was a book called The Happy Vagina.
We need to read this. I have a book that I have
Oh, I have that book.
tabbed.
You have
Yes.
to guess who? I have that book. Morgan got me that book.
Me and Morgan. Morgan, by the way, hi friend, if you're watching. Morgan is a friend of both of ours. But yes, this would be something that Morgan would gift you.
It's so good. It is so good. Okay. So it's so funny that that was your. Okay. It's just like where our head goes with hard questions is just so funny. What lies have you kept from your partners?
Girl, oh, I
See,
love
now Tashara wishes she had the
couple things. Number one, definitely lied about the number of people I've been with.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely. I mean, it's the patriarchy makes it really hard to be honest about a woman's pleasure. And so I remember I had someone who told me, he was like, yeah, I always knew you were a little advanced.
Do you know what someone told me in law school? He asked me how many partners I'd had, and I told him, and he was like, "That's the right number."
Is there a wrong answer to that? Well, I guess, right? But it's highly subjective. And
Okay, so number of partners. Okay.
also, let me just say this though. I feel like I don't, there are a few instances where I want to be someone's guinea pig. And so if you think about it, does it even make sense that the patriarchy would require for a woman to be chaste in every situation? Like, how would that be a pleasurable or a fun experience? But nevertheless,
Oh, like you mean like it's not a pleasurable experience to be with a virgin?
I don't see how it could be.
Yeah, I get
I mean,
that.
I know I didn't have a good time, but you know, to each his own.
Hold on. Sorry, go on.
And then, oh, number of terminated pregnancies, for sure. I had a partner where it was clear that I couldn't even bring the topic up.
Oh, that's really hard.
Yeah, that was really hard.
Okay, you went real deep. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, what is it like the color I paint my toenails? I mean, I don't know.
No, I was just thinking, I mean, I was just thinking like, oh, how much you spend on facial products. Like, do you do Botox? That's what
Pretty open about those things, friend. Pretty open.
okay.
All right.
Next.
Number two, this is for you. Is it more important for you to be liked or respected?
Respected.
Okay, pray tell.
But I don't know if you noticed that I had to take a pause there. This is something that I'm actively working on because I've been socialized to want to be liked and respected. However, those two things often don't come together for women.
What are
And
you doing? Because there are people who probably also feel the same way. Like, what does actively working on it look like for you?
I think that I ha have to acknowledge when I am doing things just because I want people to like me, or I'm doing things for other people's enjoyment that brings me no joy.
That's real.
So that's something that I would do to be liked. So when I notice that I'm doing something that I don't want to do, or that I feel like I have to do it because someone else wants me to do it, but it's not really to further any purpose other than a desire that someone else has that I don't have, I have to either make that as a decision, like I'm doing this, I can't like then resent them, but also like, why am I doing this just to make someone like me? I think respect is something, I mean, they intersect a lot, right?
I think so. Because I think if you like someone, hopefully you would also respect them. But there are people who I respect who I don't necessarily like, who I wouldn't
Yeah,
want to
it's a
spend a lot of
really
time with.
good point. It's a really good point. I guess I don't know how to answer that so well. I think it's most important for people to think that I'm a good person. So to me, that means to be respected.
Love
I
it.
know that not everyone likes me. What about you? Okay, wait, no, I get to answer. I get to ask. So we don't have to answer our own questions.
No, we don't have to, but I
Okay.
can. Yeah, we just listen. We're more flow, less
Okay.
resistance, friend. You know?
When have you felt misunderstood?
Woo, child. I have never felt more misunderstood than this current season of my life. And I had someone tell me recently that all of my challenges are kind of being hyper focused in this period because it's an element of growth that needs to occur, but that is also occurring, which is great because I think that, we get our biggest test in a particular season for a reason. And the space that I'm in right now of being misunderstood, I feel like is around me being a business owner, honestly, and doing what I think it takes for me to have a successful business. I think as a Black woman, there is a lot of stereotyping that oftentimes occur. Like yesterday, I told someone that I wasn't going to be able to do a brand partnership with them because all the line sheet or the lookbook that they sent me was trash. I was like, I've already signed the contract, but I'm not doing that because I know I have an audience that is 35 to 45 professional women, or yeah, about 35 to 45. Professional women, they are not going to put on this velour tracksuit. And I can't go before my audience and actually be genuine and talk about this product in a way that lands. And I think the old me would have been like so hesitant and so scared to push back on a four-figure deal. But the me today, if the money goes, the money goes. And if you think I'm mean, then I almost feel like that comes with me having to set boundaries and stand up for myself. And so I'm not the angry Black woman. I'm not hot-headed. I'm not flipping tables over. I mean, most days I'm not, right? Anger is an emotion that deserves to be recognized. But I am a couple things that are important for my convictions. I am transparent. And that's just how I seek to run my business. If something has happened that I don't agree with, I feel like this is how I pay my mortgage, dog. I clothe, feed, and house myself. I am doing work that I believe is values and mission driven. No one will get in the way of that.
I love that.
So I feel misunderstood sometimes, you know, because of that.
I do too. Do you feel, follow up question to feeling misunderstood, do you feel a different responsibility to your authenticity now that we're delving into topics of big age?
Ooh, tell me what you mean. Give me an example.
So do you feel more committed in your convictions because we're encouraging other people?
Yeah, for sure.
I do too. I feel that very, very deeply, which I think is this interesting echo chamber that is helping all of us along. Right. But like, we've heard a lot of people be like, thank you so much for, you know, talking about this, or like encouraging me to think more about some of the bullshit I put up with at work, or I don't have to put up with this stuff, or I can prioritize myself. And then if other people are doing it, do you feel like you have a responsibility to do it too?
Yes, 100%. I do not want to be, and we talked about this in a previous episode about what got me out of difficult times is the idea that people, in this case, my siblings, were looking to me as an example. And I feel like too much is given, much is required. And we have a platform and there's a responsibility that comes along with it. And so if we talk about how hard these seasons of life have been and how we're working through it, then we have to model what it looks like to fucking work through it.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. All right, this one's going to go deep, friend. So just brace yourself, okay? Do you feel that you tailored some of your commentary on the podcast so as to not look like a Karen?
Well, I feel like I do look like a Karen.
With Karen with a better haircut, I should have said, because that there's part of that aesthetic that will never be you, friend.
But I feel like I do come off as a Karen.
How so?
I mean, this goes back to maybe being misunderstood, right? But I think there have been times where maybe I've responded in a certain way or talked too much or took up space because I was nervous and came off as like overbearing and know-it-all.
So it's going to be hard for me to...
You don't need to respond.
Okay, I was about to say, because you're one of my best friends in the world.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that we've talked about, or I haven't really, I've started talking to you about it, is that I'm pretty new to media, right? So I'm not new to audiences or public speaking or having hard conversations, right? That's what I've done for a lot of my professional life. But I am not a media person. And so sound bites have been hard for me sometimes, right? And I think for everyone, right, sound bites are sound bites. They without context, they can be taken a lot of different ways. I think we have a genuine friendship outside of any of these platforms, and a lot of the social media listeners and viewers that we have on the podcast are your followers.
Why are you looking at me like?
I don't know. I feel like already I'm coming off as a kid.
Okay, we don't have to go down this road.
I think sometimes it's easier to disagree with me in the context of the podcast than you.
Okay, I think that is fair, because your assumption is that there is a large percentage of our audience that is coming from my platform. So if they're following me, they're more likely to agree with me.
Correct.
Is that your point?
And I actually agree with you 99% of the time too. I think we disagree with each other on the podcast sometimes for sake of the conversation.
For sure.
And then that can be taken out of context.
Yeah.
And sure. And I come off as a Karen.
Okay. So we know that that is a possibility, but there are many, many, many more affirming comments about you. Whether or not people have come to the podcast or to the podcast audio, which gets recommended outside of my audience clearly, or video, I think that there are many comments where people are highly supportive of you and see themselves in your reflection in some ways and can relate to you outside of race.
Absolutely. And that's very affirming. I think, like anyone, critical or constructive comments sometimes hit harder. But it's part of the process. And I take the feedback. I have biases and experiences, both lived and lived experiences and that of my current reality, that I might not have confronted some of those biases. And I am grateful for people for pointing them out.
Totally understand. This idea about people not disagreeing with me. I want to sit with that because that's come up before with us. And I honestly don't know how I feel about it because I remember two times that I got drugged in our conversations vividly. One about me using the term white politeness. People really did not like that. And even when I tried to explain it on social media, I had to block someone because it just got wildly inappropriate and disrespectful.
I remember that, yeah.
And the other was the bus driver episode, where I actually took a position that was in stark contrast to yours. And yours was probably more aligned with very many people in our community, as in the Black community, right? So there have been times for sure, I think that people are very comfortable with calling me out. So.
So I think maybe this is something around my white fragility, right? Like that I'm so sensitive to being perceived as a Karen, that anything that makes me, like any feedback that I get that puts me in proximity to that, I'm like, but then I'm like, oh my gosh, that's so fragile of me. What's wrong with me?
Well, I think it's important for people to hear you work through this because I think there is a difference between us disagreeing with someone who is progressive and far from a Karen and people pointing out Karen behavior. Because what I know a Karen to be and who you are, markedly different. And that is objective.
And I also think that there is something like going away from Karens and race, but just where we are as a society right now, where for lots of reasons, like there have been so many horrible things that have happened to certain populations, right? Systems have not done the work to get people to trust them. So, but that we're not always giving people the benefit of the doubt.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's
And I
easier to
think this,
call someone out than in.
and I think that we're in a place where it's very easy to jump to a negative assumption about them that might be true, but might not be true. And I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking in general.
Well, yeah, no, that actually like just put me in a space where I feel the responsibility to maybe at times be a little bit more sensitive or give people a little bit more grace because having this platform and having an opinion on the internet is not easy. Having an opinion at all is never easy, but doing so on a myriad of recorded devices and sharing that with thousands of people can be very, very intimidating. And you don't know how shit is going to age. You don't know what you're going to say today that tomorrow's taken out of context. And so I can give people with whom I disagree a little bit more grace hearing you say that.
Oh, that, and I think I can too. And I think that for those of us who have chosen to have an opinion on the internet, right?
Because it was a
And
choice.
it's a choice, right? Like we can say, or I can say, like, I don't love social media, but our podcast wouldn't exist without social media. And I love our podcast. And I love the work associated with our podcast, right? So social media, media, being on the internet is part of modern life and having hard conversations, which I'm incredibly committed to doing. Therefore, I am on the internet with an opinion. And there is just like not everyone, going back to your first question, not everyone is going to like you, right? People are going to make assumptions about you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. I'm going to ask one more question.
Okay, go ahead.
I just have to think what it is. If you were going to die tomorrow, what would be your last meal?
If let's say I was on death row and people told me I had one last meal, I'm gonna have my grandma to make some salmon croquettes. And I'm gonna have her to do with some cheese grits. And I am gonna have one of either her or no. I'm gonna have my mom to make a coconut cake.
Ooh.
My cousin to make a red velvet cake, because we have to have multiple dessert options here, Margot.
Wow, you're going out with a big tummy.
And then I'm gonna have my aunt to make a pound cake, because we're laying all the desserts
Do
out.
you toast your pound cake?
What do you mean toast? Like,
Like in
outside?
the toaster.
Do you know
When
what
I
toast
was little, you know Sarah Lee, every night I would cut a slice of pound cake and then put it in the toaster and put butter on it.
Okay, do you want to know something that's really funny, girl? Especially being from the South. I've seen it in the store, but I have never had a Sara Lee pound cake in my life. Like, when I tell you everybody has made pound cakes, I don't, but everybody around me has made pound cakes my whole life. So I didn't even know that yet. Okay. It actually sounds delicious, especially with a little bit of butter on it.
It was so yummy. And now when I think about it, like given how I eat now, it just sounds so funny. Okay.
I have another question for you.
Okay. Yep.
I feel like we have time for at least one more
Yeah.
question.
Yep.
Okay. I have two in mind, but I'm going to ask this one because I think it's going to probably dig a little bit deeper. If you could imagine a life that was completely opposite of the one you have now, what would it look like?
Oh, that's easy. I would be a single person living a cosmopolitan life in Europe.
I can see that, but I totally cannot, actually. Nothing about that actually sounds
I would
good.
like have like a flat with a lot of sunlight and like nice teacups
Okay.
and like art friends.
Where did teacups come from?
And, have like a fancy job.
What career field? Would it be art?
Would be in the arts.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you
It
smoke
wouldn't be
cigarettes?
in the sciences. It wouldn't be in the maths. It wouldn't be in law. So it would be in the arts.
Yeah. Would you smoke cigarettes?
Absolutely.
Yeah, me too.
I would have like a bottle of red wine in my kitchen that wasn't fully drank that I would top, and I'd like come home from work and just like pour a little and just like take off my heels and have like a little cup of water and red wine and smoke my cigarette.
Have your Marlboro Light.
No, it would be something, it would roll my own.
Love this.
I would have like boyfriends in like different countries. I'd have a
Ooh,
couple.
yeah, hell yeah.
And but it's not my life. I don't want it. I'm just saying, like
Yeah. But you
that.
know what this sounds like from Sex and the City? Is it Samantha?
No, to Shira.
I'm just saying, you might have been influenced, is all I'm saying.
Well, okay, wait, I have a follow-up question. What would your life be? Or what do you think my life would be?
No, I think the only thing that I beg to differ about in the scenario that you just named
The
is that,
cigarettes?
no, clearly you smoke cigarettes. I think that you would not live in Europe.
Oh, because I'd want to be close to my parents.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But you were just saying like a different life.
No, I mean, you answered it perfectly. But I think that if I had to imagine for you what your life would be like, I would probably include all of those things. I just would have you living in
New
maybe
York.
New York or like the Bay Area, because you definitely wouldn't do LA.
Huh, that's interesting. I like LA
You could
better.
own a really cool boutique in Palm Springs. Really? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, or like a retreat center.
100 fucking and 50%.
Guys, it's gonna happen.
That's what it says.
Okay. Well, okay. Quickly, in the last couple of minutes, what would yours be?
What would mine be? Okay. Can I say, this is gonna be so fucking annoying, but I have to be the person here that says that the life that I live now is the one that I dreamed about. So let me just say that, like, everything
well,
about
you didn't give me the opportunity to say that about mine.
Why is it that whenever I say something, you feel like you didn't get that choice? Take up space, friend.
You said, if you didn't have the life you had, what life? The life that I'm living is the life of my wildest dream.
Amen. Amen. And we love that for you. Okay. Now, let me think about what my life would look like.
Okay. You okay. don't live where you live. You don't have politics and fashion. You don't have justice. You don't have any of this. You didn't go to law school.
I would be a dancer.
Like a stripper?
Well, partly, but I think I probably would start with something more like modern dance, like Ailey.
Yeah. Okay.
I 100% would be an Ailey dancer.
Like I'd just be an Elvin Ailey.
Yeah.
Sure. I'd run the New York City Ballet.
Period. We're talking about wild dreams here. I would be an Ailey dancer. I think my partner would be a politician. Ooh. And I think we would live a very society life, honestly.
You'd be like Cheryl from Abbott Elementary.
Cheryl Lee Ralph?
Mm-hmm.
What? She was
she's married to a politician from Pennsylvania.
Oh, no, I didn't know that. But she's also an artist. She's a singer. So, and she's someone who I actually love. Like, she gives me strong.
Anytime you want to come on the podcast, open invitation, anywhere. We'll fly to you. We'll do anything. Okay.
Yeah, so I think those would be my two things. But I would actually live on the West Coast.
Me too.
For sure.
I need more sunshine, and I need less cold, and I need more happy people.
And I need to be near water.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, well, this was fun. We should do this again.
Yeah, I feel like this is like a series that we could create, just a series of hard questions.
Yeah.
All right, good people. Thank you so much today for watching. Once again, these are just laid back, organic style discussions between two friends. If you want to go a little bit deeper, then we definitely recommend you take a listen or watch here on YouTube our podcast full length episodes. And those come out bi-weekly.
Thanks, everyone.
We'll see you next time. Thanks for listening to Justice. We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you'd like to learn more about our podcast, be sure to check us out on our website at justicepodcast.com. You can also reach out to us there if you want to be featured on the show or if you have a business or a product that you think would be a good fit for our audience. Thanks again for listening.